Just give me some truth. I've had enough of reading things by neurotic, psychotic, pig-headed politicians. All I want is the truth. Just give me some truth. No short. Hello, listeners, and welcome to this edition of 9/11 Wake Up Call. I'm Cheryl. Today, joining me in the studio is Karen Shanahan and Eric Stamm, two of the organizers of the Hope Out Loud Peace and Arts Festival, and members of the Connecticut Coalition for Peace and Justice. Karen and Eric, welcome to the show.
Hey, it's good to be here.
Yeah, welcome.
Could you tell us about Hope Out Loud, the Peace Festival, how did it get started, a little bit of history of the event?
Yeah, Hope Out Loud was begun by a group of local activists, peace activists, in September 2002 on the first anniversary of the World Trade Center destruction. As an activist response to 9/11, that's a way of saying we were calling for a non-military intervention in Afghanistan, really discouraging responding with warlike tools, and often were accused of not caring that much. And we wanted to make it clear that as Americans, we were affected by the events of 9/11 and were proposing a very different response, peaceful response that could have moved the world towards, we think, a much better place.
And you said there are four aspects to Hope Out Loud?
Well, yeah. It's basically broken down into four components. We have tabling between 40 and 60 activists and advocacy groups from Connecticut come and set up tables, distribute literature, are available to talk to people about how to get more involved in the specific cause that they're championing. And I think that's the heart. Networking opportunities and learning is really what Hope Out Loud, I think, is centrally about. In addition, we have a main stage, which features musical acts, poetry, speakers highlighting different issues that we feel are different facets of the peace process. The Hope Out Loud Coffee House is recreated during the intermission, which provides an open mic for unscheduled performers to play and informal sit-down area for people just to network and exchange ideas. Finally, I'm going to ask Karen to talk about kids' activities, but yeah. Hope Out Loud is developed very much to be a family event, and the children activity area is a big part of it.
So before we go any further, maybe you can tell the listeners the date and how they can contact you if they want more information.
Okay. Hope Out Loud 9 Peace and Arts Festival will be happening Sunday, September 19th, from noon to 5 p.m. at Bushnell Park in Hartford, Connecticut. And they can contact us at www.hopeoutloud.org to get more information, or phone number is 860-523-4823. That's 860-523-4823. And this is I'm so excited, we introduced a drum circle that starts and ends the festival last year, and it was a big success. We're going to continue doing that. So everybody who loves to drum, bring your drum and meet us down by the main stage at 11:30 to start off, to kick off the festival. And then we're also going to have a drum circle that'll end the festival at 5
p.m. I was there last year. I remember that drum circle. That was a nice touch. I like that. And then how about the children's activities?
Oh, the children's activities. I absolutely love the children's activities. I've gotten a great crew of volunteers to help out, and we teach cooperative play and give opportunities for families to interact together and just relax and enjoy. My favorite is we have these huge bubble wands, and we make up this great bubble solution, so we have these fantastic bubbles that it just amazes everybody, and it's amazing how it just brings smiles on everybody's face, and people just seem to come together for that. And then as well, we also have face painting. We have clowns. She does balloon artists, storytelling. We do arts and crafts. And we also have other interactive games that we'll have throughout the festival. So.
Mm-hmm. Great. So it's a family event.
Definitely.
Not just for
adults. Definitely. Yeah. Yes.
Great. And maybe you could tell us a little bit about the names of some of the organizations who have tables at your event.
Well, like I said, we've had between 40 and I think a high of 65 different tabling organizations representing a fairly broad spectrum from grassroots activist groups to mainstream advocacy and service organizations. This year, our sponsors to date, and it's an ever-growing list, include the Connecticut Network to Abolish the Death Penalty, certainly our partner this year, West Hartford Citizens for Peace and Justice, the Christian Conference of Connecticut, La Paloma Sabanera Coffee Shop, American Friends Service Committee, Connecticut Valley Atheists, Heartbeat Theater Ensemble, Connecticut United for Peace, Connecticut Trans Advocacy, Hartford Oketal Sister City Project, UN Association of Connecticut, Cheryl, 9/11 Truth Connecticut.
Mm-hmm. They're every year.
It goes on. So, you know, it really is a broad array of different organizations, all of whom are looking to both promote their point of view, their perspective, advocate for their causes, but also find ways to interact with the other groups and finally help new people with an interest in their issues and concerns get involved in their organizations. We often say free speech is encouraged at Hope Out Loud.
Yeah, that's great. And I've had a table there, I think, for the last, I don't know, 5 or 6 years. And it's amazing. It's a great way to reach out to a wide range of people. Mm-hmm. And I've seen a change over the years in people's response to the table and the 9/11 issues. So it's been really interesting. And maybe you could tell people, if they have an organization and they want to have a table, how would they go about doing that?
Well, the easiest way, if you have internet capacity, is to go to our website, www.hopeoutloud.org, where the registration packet is downloadable. Clearly, you can leave a message with your mailing address or email address at 860-523-4823, or just email info@hopeoutloud.org. Tables. We are very egalitarian and want to make it clear that we're trying, economic equity is one of our core values. And overall, we try to make it a day where money has very little impact on your opportunities to participate. So we have a suggested but not expected tabling donation of $25, but we'd prefer to have groups present more than fundraising, although we do need to raise money to pay for the festival. Hope Out Loud is all volunteer driven. We really put it on with a minimal budget, but there are expenses we do involve. We're looking for people to sponsor. Same contact information, suggested donation, $50 for sponsorship. That does come with a table. And we need people to volunteer to help us. It's a big event with many facets, and literally on the day of staging the event is overwhelming for the core group of 6 or 7 people who put it on. So please get in touch with us if you want more information about Hope Out Loud.
Yeah, this is a great way for people who want to become more active in social justice, anti-war issues, to go to this event and connect and help out. Maybe you could tell the listeners a little bit about the music you're going to have at the event.
Oh, we have two great groups right now that we've actually booked. The first one, he has actually been here before, is Haphazard and Friends, and we found him. He came to our Hope Out Loud coffee house, and he is just a great musician who has a great band, and he plays great folk rock music. We're looking forward to having him back. And our second group that we have, I'm really excited about, because they're a new band that actually they played for the first time at our coffee house a year ago in August. And they play like a world fusion music. It's called String Theory. And they've been playing around local bands. And I think they played at the Mark Twain House. And they've actually been on NPR. And if you come here just for them, you won't be sorry for coming. Their music is just very relaxing and very enjoyable. And I'd like to say one more thing, too. We do have a place at our coffee house for people who, if they want to come the day of or contact us.
It's an open mic. Oh. You know, Karen brought up the coffee house. In addition to the Peace and Arts Festival, we have a monthly Hope Out Loud coffee house open mic. It's the last Friday of every month for going on 6 years now. I think the Connect Coalition started in 2004. We started up the monthly coffee house. You know, it's a fundraising tool for the festival, but also features folk musicians, spoken word, poetry, and again, just free speech and intercourse with people who have progressive values. For more information, go to our website, look up the coffee house. It's at the Metropolitan Community Church the last Friday of every month.
Okay, and that website again is hopeoutloud.org. And I know that there are speakers every year at the event. And I know you're still looking. Maybe you could speak a little bit about that.
Putting together Hope Out Loud is an evolutionary process, and it's really towards the end of the process we begin to line up local speakers around different issues. We do our best to get a balance between the local issues and speakers from the Hartford and Central Connecticut community organizing groups, blended with speakers who focus more on national and international issues. In the past, we've had speakers explore Palestine, Israel as an issue, certainly immigration rights, gay rights, LGBTQ rights, I should say, and, you know, question military funding. This year, a growing focus among the progressive activist groups is working on economic conversion and the cost of militarization to the United States. As we're confronted with real economic concerns and a growing deficit, we're calling on people, maybe peace is a higher priority than military. And since World War II, I think estimates have been $30 to $45 trillion has been spent on the military. To a certain extent, we've given it a chance to achieve worldwide security, and I would challenge people by saying, do you feel more secure? This has been a tremendous investment of our resources, and Hope Out Loud in many ways is providing alternatives to military and military spending as a vision for how to build a sustainable global economy and interactive world.
Yeah, and the U.S. economy is so dependent now on the military piece of it, selling military weapons as opposed to other things like shoes and things.
Yeah.
That, you know, we're going to have wars in order to support that if we don't do something to change it.
And the conversion, given the growth of military spending becoming ingrained and spread across more and more congressional districts, it will be a conscious process similar to the end of World War II and what we saw after Vietnam, where government policy focuses on how do we convert to civilian uses the high technology manufacturing capacity of the military industrial complex, for lack of a better term, to peaceful uses. We're saying at this point that given the crisis of global warming, there are real opportunities to invest in ways to mitigate the damage done to the environment and create sustainable models of cohabitation.
And there will be tables there with all that kind of information on them. And
there will be literature you can take home, opportunities to become involved. Hope Out Loud really is set up to facilitate interaction, I think, throughout the day.
And that's how I started. I started my activism really, I got catapulted into activism with Hope Out Loud. I was kind of getting my feet wet and going to a little bit demonstrations here and there. But then I wanted something a little bit more, and I went to Hope Out Loud. And I was just, oh, my goodness, there's just so many. There's a wealth of information out there. You can contact people one, you know, you can talk to people one-on-one and get information and find out where your interest lies. And then you can go ahead and delve into that and become an activist.
Right, right. And there's people there who will kind of guide you. They've already got the structure there. You can jump in and be active if you want to. So basically, Hope Out Loud, if you want to become an activist or learn more about political issues or social justice issues, you can go and do that at all the tables. You can also just sit in the sun and enjoy the music and the speakers and just relax and have a nice day in the park. And how about food? Is there food available?
We have some food vendors. Traditionally, it's been somewhat limited. Again, one of the things we're really putting on is a pretty non-commercial event. So I always encourage people to bring a picnic lunch, bring a lawn chair, bring a blanket, and really just plan to spend a nice day enjoying music, spoken word. Beautiful area of the park. We're in the northeast corner of Bushnell Park. If people aren't familiar with it, it's between the Pump House and Trumbull Street. If you know Hartford, it's a wooded area that we converted into a peace village over by the pond, actually. For the last few years, the Falun Gong of Central Connecticut has led meditation by the water. So it really is just a very creative day. Well, you're going to be exposed to people who like to talk about what ideas, actions, what they're thinking about, what they're planning to do. It's a day away from, I think, the mainstream media. And
I have to say, I think it's one of my favorite days of the year. It's usually always bright and sunny in September there, and a ton of people come by the table, and I get to talk to all these people. And last year, I took a recorder and I interviewed some people and then played their thoughts about 9/11 on the radio, and I thought that was a big success. So I will be doing that again this year. So if anyone wants to get on the radio and give their opinion, come by the table, and
Wonderful.
I'll be happy to record you. Is there anything else you want people to know
Did
about
we?
This?
I don't know if we mentioned that Hope Out Loud is a free event.
And, oh, that's a good point.
Yeah, and all the activities that we do with the children's and the family activities are free. They usually come away with some good stuff, you know, some nice little you know, stuff that they, arts and crafts that they make. So everything is free.
That's a good point.
Yes.
There's so many things in life that aren't free. It's nice to have that for free.
And I need to include a little bit. Hope Out Loud is supported in part by the Greater Hartford Arts Council, the City of Hartford, and we receive media sponsorship from the Hartford Advocate. So we've really been pleased to get the support of Hartford for putting on this kind of event. I think Connecticut stands out to me as someone who moved here 10 years ago as having a strong tradition in free speech and really showing respect for people expressing their views and trying to promote different perspectives. So it's part of the Connecticut and Hartford tradition, I think, that we have a lot to celebrate here.
That's really great to hear that you have that kind of support. And again, what's the date and how can people contact you?
Okay. Again, Hope Out Loud 9 Peace and Arts Festival will be happening Sunday, September 19th from noon to 5 p.m. in Bushnell Park. That's Hartford, Connecticut. And don't forget, bring your drum for the drum circle, 11:30, to kick off the festival.
Bring good spirits and expect to have a good time.
Bring a picnic lunch.
And your ideas and the ability to express them. Free speech really is welcomed.
And Karen, I know that you haven't believed in the official account of 9/11 recently anyway. I don't know. Can you give a little history of your thoughts on that and how you've evolved?
Well, 9/11, the day that it happened, I just was very, very sad, very sad. And that's when I started questioning, and I wanted to find out why this happened. And I just didn't take what they said for granted. It didn't settle right in me. And so I kept on searching and looking, and I came upon a group called 9/11 Truth, and I started attending their seminars and workshops, and it just seemed to make sense to me about what they had to say about the architectural structure of the building. And so it just raised a lot of questions, and it seems like the more I look, the more question it raises. And so I'm tending to believe that there is something more than what our government is telling us, and people need to find out for themselves.
Yes, so if you're at the festival, please check out my table, and we'll give you some information on that. Is there anything else you'd like to share?
I think we've pretty much covered it. Hope Out Loud Peace Festival and Music Festival is just a wonderful day with many facets to it, opportunities for open dialogue, opportunities to just sit back and enjoy concerts.
You can feel the love there. I don't mean to sound corny, but people are just happy, and there's just a feeling of love and brotherhood and sisterhood that's really amazing, I feel.
I really get a great sense of it feels really good to be around all these people who are active and doing something to make a better world.
Right.
I feel that, so I know what you're saying about feel the love.
Yes.
So, yeah, that's great. So again, if you want more information about this Hope Out Loud Peace Festival in Bushnell Park on Sunday, September 19th from 12 to 5, their website is www.hopeoutloud.org, or you can call at 860-523-4823. And now I want to share with you the Hope Out Loud theme song, written by David Brown in 2002 and sung here by David Brown and the infamous Kevin. So here it is, Hope Out Loud.
When they wave the flag and bang the drum, you better hope out loud that peace will come. If you just sit silently and wait, then before you know it's gonna be too late. You gotta hope out loud. You gotta raise your voice. Let people know they have a choice. You gotta hope out loud. You gotta let them know, hey, that's not the way you're gonna go. Now the old men send the young to war. You know we've seen it. Well, it won't work now, didn't work back then. But the deadly cycle begins again. You gotta hope out loud. You gotta make it plain. There'll be no more killing in your name. You gotta hope out loud. so loud they hear. Gonna bring down apathy and fear. It'll ease your mind, it'll make you whole. But a silent prayer will only do when there's no one else involved but you. You gotta hope out loud. You gotta pray for peace so loud the echoes never cease. You gotta hope out loud for all your worth. If we save ourselves, we can save the earth. If we save ourselves, we can save the earth.
I really like that song. Great lyrics, great sound. The keynote speaker for the Hope Out Loud Festival is Shahid Buttar, who is a 2003 graduate of Stanford University Law School and the executive director of the Bill of Rights Defense Committee. Here's a short clip of him speaking on torture.
First, with respect to transparency, prosecution for torture is necessary for us as a society to know what happened, and transparency is a prerequisite to the operation of any of our democratic checks and balances. Courts cannot assert judicial review and oversight through that process without transparency. Congress cannot act either legislatively to stop offenses going forward, and its oversight is diminished when there's not transparency into what the actual acts were that were committed. Now, there are two areas with respect to transparency that I think have come up that have failed to receive the attention I would say that they deserve. The first is the destruction of the tapes of interrogation maintained by the CIA, and the second are the set of secret photos that depict rape of detainees by U.S. personnel. So the latest flip-flop, let's say, or two-step with respect to the photos was the administration, after initially committing to disclosure and then being ordered by a court to disclose the photos, then coordinating with Senators Graham and Lieberman to shut down the Senate by insisting that the first legislative act by the Senate be one to prohibit the disclosure of these photos, basically to congressionally give the White House cover to maintain executive secrecy. And I just invite you to put that in the lens of what Bruce was talking about in terms of interbranch checks and the rule of law. With respect to these photos, if they're not disclosed, how do we know exactly what abuses we may or may not be prosecuting for? And without knowing that, how can the debate around prosecution have any legitimacy? How do we take comfort, for instance, in the reluctance to prosecute when the extent and scope and scale of the prosecutable behavior remains unknown? The argument's been made that the disclosure of the photos would harm American interests, that it would place our troops abroad at risk. But I'd invite you to consider two overlooked premises in that construction. The first is it the disclosure of the photos, or is it the conduct depicted in the photos that places our troops at risk? And if it is the latter, if it is the conduct, if it is the torture and the rape that these photos allegedly depict, is that not a basis for prosecuting its conduct rather than sweeping the evidence under the rug? Does disclosing the photos and prosecuting the people responsible do a better job of protecting our international legitimacy? Does it do a better job of promoting the rule of law principles that as a society we have long defended and promoted, pioneered in fact? Or does sweeping the evidence under the rug in order to hide what everyone already knows, that torture was committed by U.S. personnel at Guantanamo Bay, at Bagram Air Force Base, at Abu Ghraib prison, where else one might guess? CIA black sites? except we don't have transparency, into those either. Okay, setting aside transparency and moving into legitimacy, I want to address this in three different contexts. The first, and I'll just make a reference to this, is the grand sense, the rule of law sense. The second is the international legal regime. I published an op-ed over the weekend discussing in particular the Nuremberg precedent and the extent to which a seminal, uncontroversial, fundamental principle that our own Supreme Court Justice Robert Jackson declared as some of his most important work was establishing this principle that up and down the chain of command, regardless of the assurances of any set of domestic laws, some set of actions, war crimes, violations of human rights, are criminal. It doesn't matter what OLC said. It doesn't matter what lawyers gave whom what confidence that their actions were legal. The Nuremberg cases stood quite clearly for the proposition that some laws transcend those of any nation, including our own. It is a grave travesty that we have now found ourselves challenging the basis for those principles after having done such world historical work, I think, in promoting them. The second area, or the third, I should say, in which legitimacy is threatened, and this is one I think in particular I haven't heard anybody talk about, and it astounds me, is the legitimacy crisis facing our own domestic criminal justice system, when on the one hand, nonviolent crime is prosecuted without inhibition. There were over 300,000 prison sentences imposed in 2007 and 2008 for nonviolent crime around the country, when torture, which is intentional violence for the purpose of inflicting pain, goes unpunished when it's committed by politically connected senior officials. That is a legitimacy crisis. There is a profound tension in the pro-prosecutorial bias in the one context and the anti-prosecutorial bias in the other. Just last week, the Bill of Rights Defense Committee, which I lead, submitted to the Attorney General, as well as members of the Intel and the Judiciary Committees on the Senate side, a series of letters on behalf of 4,000 Americans noting this particular tension. 500 teachers talking about how, for them, teaching the civics narrative was becoming untenable because their students wouldn't accept it. They see the school-to-prison pipeline on the one hand, imprisoning their peers, and then they see Dick Cheney and his enablers, on the other hand, getting off scot-free for much, much, much worse behavior. In the last, I think, issue here that I'd like to talk about are the implications of accountability for torture. You're all familiar, at least in the abstract, with the proposal for a preventive detention scheme to circumvent the Article III courts and create a new system of unequal justice for national security cases in the United States. That we are even considering a proposal along those lines is not only a betrayal of our nation's most fundamental values, any number of constitutional provisions, and our own international historical legacy, but it's a function of the political climate being conditioned by the people who enabled torture in the first place. The reason we're talking about preventive detention is because instead of being behind bars, Dick Cheney is in front of a camera, quite frankly. And as long as criminal charges, appropriate criminal charges, legally necessary, mandated criminal charges, don't face the actors who enabled and authorized and committed torture, the policy debates going forward on not only torture, but detainee policy, other seemingly unrelated policies in the war on terror, like perhaps the domestic surveillance regime, all of these policy debates will be skewed, stilted, tainted by the participation of political actors who were both politically rejected at the polls and now given get-out-of-jail-free cards for what seems to be criminal conduct. The Bill of Rights Defense Committee supports the appointment of a special prosecutor, at the very least to investigate what happened, who is responsible, the application of our international treaty commitments, our own constitutional commitments, statutory violations that may have been committed. We owe it to ourselves as a society, and the legitimacy of our own institutions depend on conducting a thorough, independent investigation, prosecuting where warranted, and bringing to justice those who are responsible for violating our nation and the world's most fundamental commitments. Thank you.
To learn more about the Hope Out Loud Festival in Bushnell Park in Hartford on September 19th, the website is hopeoutloud.org, and the phone number is 860-523-4823. Hope to see you there. This concludes this edition of 9/11 Wake Up Call. I'm Cheryl. Thanks for listening.